You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
My guest today says we have bartered away our future for little gain by destroying the rainforest, the ocean, wilderness, plant and animal species, and we've enabled dramatic climate change with no solution in sight. The need now is for good people with good intentions to bring environmental balance and peace back to our world to reignite the light. He's here today to invite you to participate in the solution he designed, one in which everyone can participate, and he calls it the Prayer Project. Welcome to Full Power Living, where we bring you a wide variety of guests and programs with the aim of understanding the power and importance of human emotions. We broadcast over blogtalkradio.com/FPL and over emotionalpro.com and distribute through iTunes. You're invited to call during our live show. Our toll-free number is 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. Paramahansa Jagadish is the world-renowned master healer, teacher, and spiritual leader who guides people in discovering their own stewardship of the soul. With more than 4.5 decades of deep and concentrated spiritual practice rooted in Eastern yogic, Tibetan Buddhist, and Hawaiian traditions, he brings together both Eastern and Western perspective. He holds a bachelor's degree in transpersonal psychology from Sonoma State University, and as a gifted healer, he's best known globally for his healing work and teachings in karma clearing, which we'll talk with him more about, and ancestral healing, divine light transmission, and bodhisattva mastery training. The stewardship of the soul pathway to self and God realization is also his primary focus of talking with us about reclaiming what we've lost. Today, he uses his vaulted position as a leading healer to advance the healing of the world through his Prayer Project movement. And you can get more information by going to stewardshipofthesoul.com or to theprayerproject.com. So, Paramahansa Jagadish, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, the Prayer Project you began advocates that good people with good intentions who want to bring peace and environmental balance back to our world, that they join together and offer positive prayer for the world and its people. And I want to start with, what is it about prayer that makes you believe it can be a solution for peace and environmental balance?
I've seen it happen in the work that I've been doing with hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people benefiting through prayer and, you know, through regular prayer that we know of, and through prayer in other forms, shapes and forms, like meditation, like doing good deeds, developing virtues, and all of those different things as well. So it's a big calling. We know that prayer has a definite effect, a definite positive effect on people. It's been proven through many, many different testing projects that have happened, you know, over time. And so we know that it has a positive effect. And if we can gather a few hundred thousand people, maybe even a few million people, to be praying very deeply and sincerely and diligently 3 times a day, just for a few minutes each time, then we will see a very wonderful change in the planet.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't totally clear. I know a lot of the prayers you have in your book are focused on peace, and but is there a particular thing that all of us must focus on, or is it just the act of prayer itself?
Well, it's both of those things, and thank you for asking. On page 20 and 21 of the book, I have the three parts of a prayer, or three prayers, you might say, that I want people to focus on at first, and then add their own prayers or add any prayers from the second half of the book that they want to include in that. And maybe later we can go through that prayer that I'm talking about.
I believe from that you're asking us to go to a certain process that helps prepare us for the prayer ourselves.
That's included
why don't we
in
talk
the book
about it
as
right
well.
Now?
Yeah, that's included in the book as well. But there are three
mm-hmm.
particular prayers I want people to do because it's so focused on the benefits that we can really enable in the world or support and facilitate in the world.
Right. So the first one is, God, I humbly ask for your blessings to purify my body, mind, and soul and restore me to my natural condition of love, peace, joy, and wisdom. Amen. Amen.
Exactly, yeah. So that's the prayer for ourselves. That's the prayer for, if I can purify my body, mind, and soul, that will lead actually to the realization of my true nature also, in which case
mm-hmm.
I'll be living in not only love, peace, joy, and wisdom, but divine love, divine peace, divine joy, divine wisdom. And so that's the calling for ourselves to better ourselves and realize our true self. And then the second part is for the bodhisattva activity of benefiting everyone in the world.
Including all the beings, I like that. And the government leaders, we need that.
Yes, yeah. Government, financial, political, business, spiritual leaders, all everyone. And when I was writing this, I knew that if I talked about it, I would say that everyone is a leader in some way or another also. Every single
uh-huh.
human being. Yeah. Yeah, if you have children, then you're a leader. If you are a manager of people in some way, you're a manager of yourself in some way, you're a leader.
Let me just sidetrack for a minute. A lot of people are talking about leaders and leadership these days. When you say leader, what qualities or actions are you referring to? When you say, for example, if you tell me I'm a leader, that means?
It means that you're in a position of having some kind of power over one or more people.
Oh, great.
Some kind of influence over one or more people.
There's a book I liked one time. It's called The Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ. I don't know if you've ever read it or not, but there's a quote in there that there are two ways to lead. One is that you can stand at the crossroads and point and tell people to go that way. And the other is that you can walk down the pathway and say, follow me. And the latter was the one that was recommended. But I've liked that quote about leadership for a long time.
Yeah. Well, in the second part of the verse related to leadership, it's really about asking the divine energy to heal and transform all people in leadership. Do you know what I'm saying? So this is for leaders who should not be leaders also, but are in a position to influence people. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes. And it strikes me that we need to pray for people who are in leadership positions who are not operating as leaders. We need to
exactly.
pray for them even
exactly.
more.
Yeah, maybe
yes,
we should.
Yes.
If we went through the second part, if you can kindly read that, then people will understand.
Most loving and compassionate God, the divine power and energy of the universe and beyond, I humbly ask for your blessings to purify and illuminate with your light, love, peace, and wisdom all beings of the universe, all beings of the earth, all beings who are in power and affect the lives of others, especially our government leaders, business and financial leaders, and our spiritual leaders from the entire globe, that they may all be cleansed and purified of negative motivations and actions and filled with your light, love, peace, joy, and wisdom. Amen. Yep.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing. That's great.
Yeah. Can you imagine a few million people across the planet participating in this kind of prayer three times a day, even if it's just for 1 to 3 minutes, then
yes,
we know the effect of prayer, that it will materialize into miracles. So it's been proven so many times in so many different ways.
We certainly need it, even in the last 2 or 3 weeks with the news we've been having war,
yeah,
people getting upset and shooting rockets at one another, and oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I felt that we could have a whole program on that. Let me get to the third one, which is, let this happen now within me and spread around the world, transforming and bequeathing all noble qualities and actions expressed and enacted everywhere upon everyone and everything. Amen.
Yeah. So that's the let it be, let it manifest part.
So we cleanse ourselves. We ask for help, especially in terms of leadership, and then we ask for it to spread and cleanse everything.
Yeah,
yes.
It's good.
Yes?
No, please, go ahead.
Well, I really get that. We are not only being invited to connect to spiritual energy, but we are connecting with one another and recognizing that we have this effect. And as you mentioned in your book, it leaves us co-creating the world that we'd like to live in.
Yeah, exactly. We do that individually in our household as best we can under the circumstances each of us are in. And connecting, like you were mentioning, we become a powerful community of the world, and therefore we're enacting and fulfilling everything the future holds for us. There are many people that say that we're coming into a place of coming into a new dimension, we're coming into a place of coming into a new human type of being, that they have different words for. And this could be one of the vehicles, one of the many vehicles out here to help us realize all of that, to actualize it.
Well, one of the things it sounds like you're supposing under all of this, with which I personally agree, is that we all are in process of creating our own reality. And so you're essentially saying, as long as we have this opportunity to not only create our personal reality, but the reality going forward, why don't we create this peaceful, loving, environmentally nurturing future for ourselves? Am I understanding you correctly?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And one of the components, though, that I talk about, because I'm a pragmatic realist as well, is that we create our own life according to the blocks, obstacles, and limitations of our karma. And so that's why we don't have an ideal life. Most people don't have an ideal life in the sense of, you know, different aspects of their life. So it's karma in a way that chooses our life in a certain way. And then we have certain powers within ourselves to choose how we respond to life and choose to how much we're going to take responsibility for our lives and do proactive techniques or actions in the world that not only benefit ourselves but look to benefit everyone. And then not only to benefit everyone, benefit everyone holistically.
Wow. That's a really lovely idea. One of the things that I found fascinating when I was looking through your book is that you say that the idea of prayer is that we want to please God and attain purification and realization of our own sacred, spiritual, and enlightened nature. But you also emphasize that prayer is for the benefit of others. It almost sounds like what I've learned about as selfless service.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, bodhisattva activity, selfless service, yeah. Yeah, it's
so
a
talk
very,
a little bit more. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Selfless service is a very deep science, if you will. Even I would consider it a science, a subtle science, a spiritual type of science. And many of us, like I've worked with a lot of people. You know, I've had a lot of people come on board at different times in the work that I do and become apprentices and help out. And one thing is that some of the main people who have helped me over the years and participated in trainings and did selfless service towards what I'm doing sometimes got upset once in a while with me. And I later understood what it was because I wanted them to talk to me about what it was. And what it was is I would only mention something that wasn't going right, so that people could understand that, and then we can correct any situation to make it as nice of an experience for all the people who are coming to the events that I do. And what I noticed was, see, I grew up mostly with great saints and realized masters in India and Nepal. And there was never any, all the seva that we did, all the service, selfless service that we did it to God, we did it to benefit our spiritual master and to the divine and to God within all beings. And so we never looked for anyone to say good job or anyone to pat us on the back and say you're doing good. And I grew up naturally like that, so I didn't have it in my psyche and my behavior to compliment people as they were doing such wonderful work towards this end of helping others. And so I had to learn through a number of years, and God forgive to people a few of my apprentices' frustrations and people who helped me, that I didn't compliment them, because if they're doing it for God, they don't need my compliment. I've since changed because I do want to encourage people to do selfless service, but selfless service means you don't need anyone to compliment you whatsoever or pat you on the back, because it's right. Selfless service, completely selfless. So it's a process to attain that level of emotional freedom.
This causes me a little curiosity here, so I'm going to follow it.
Okay, great.
You're really talking about. People needing to have their, or feeling like they need to have their ego fed. And when we talk about selfless service, we're saying set the ego aside, do this for the greater good, do this for connection with God. And therefore, why step back and feed the ego? Is that to bring people along, or what?
No, No, you're right. It's to bring people along and to correct my own behavior, because I grew up in my formative years not only in California with a few saints and a few fully accomplished saints we call siddhas that I started studying with in California before I ever went to India, but I was in my late teens when I went to India and then lived with these great siddhas and great masters that really the Western world has no conception of because they don't come out here. And so I grew up for 10 to 20 years with these people doing, you know, full-time practice. And so, like I said, those were my formative years. So I had to learn that in the Western world, you have to assure people they're doing a good job too and bring out the best in people. And that was one of the things I had to learn. At the same time, it would be nice if we didn't need those assurances, but as long as we do, then we should be getting them. Especially from me.
You know, as a psychotherapist, I had the good fortune to learn about selfless service many, many years ago, and I have assigned many people who were in psychological trouble to go and do selfless service as the fastest way through their issues, through their problem.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so wonderful.
So you do it for other people's benefit, but it ultimately, you know, what's good when you do something good for yourself, it benefits others and vice versa.
Yeah, and it makes you feel so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I say, you know, enjoy feeling good about doing service for others, but don't take yourself so seriously about it that you're a fantastic person for it. Let go of those kinds of things.
Well, that ties in with something you mentioned a while ago. You said people have an opportunity to choose how much responsibility they want to take for their lives. Now, I have a question there also, because my learning is that, of course, we can choose how much of it we wish to assume, but we all are responsible for our own lives. So if we don't choose to take the responsibility, it sort of leaves it as a wild card in our lives, does it not?
Exactly. And wild cards usually lead to suffering in some way or another.
All right, good. I'm glad you clarified that, because I was challenged a few times, and I learned to take responsibility wherever I can. And I was describing to somebody this past week that making a point in my office, where there are a lot of people, of putting the toilet paper roll on the holder is an act of taking responsibility that actually brings me great joy.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be big.
Right. No.
All right. We're up to our first break. I'm talking today with Paramahansa Jagadish about the Prayer Project, which is an opportunity to bring peace and enlightenment to our challenged world by praying for 3 minutes, three times a day. We're looking more at how we can pray and how prayer can overcome fear when we return here on Full Power Living following these messages.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Next week, we're talking about the importance of moving our bodies, especially by intriguing our very plastic brains into doing new things. Anat Baniel discusses the Anat Baniel movement method with me. It's a revolutionary and gentle approach for helping special needs children, keeping older people moving graciously, and helping people recover their lives after accidents or illnesses. So be sure to listen next Thursday on August 7th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, which is noon Eastern Time. I also want to invite you to sign up at emotionalpro.com to be on our mailing list so I can share with you details of upcoming shows as well as information about the projects in which we're involved that are contributing to personal and world transformation. So sign up right now on emotionalpro.com. My guest today is Paramahansa Jagadish, whose spiritual journey and healing abilities, as he told us in the last segment, began in his youth. But they began not just in his formative teen years, but when he was 4 years old. Will you tell us about falling into the hole and what happened, Paramahansa?
Okay. I was 4 years old, and we had a few dogs that lived with us, you know, and in the backyard they used to dig holes. So there was a huge hole on a little bit of a hill in the side backyard, and I was peering over into the hole and noticing how large it was, and it was dug underneath a juniper tree in the yard. Well, my brother was with me. He was off to the side. And as I was concentrating, looking and leaning over, looking into the hole, I called out to my brother, who was off to the back side of me, come over and look at this. And my attention was in two different places at once. And so I leaned over too far, and with my attention being split, I fell into the hole. So I tucked and rolled and landed in a meditative sitting position when I landed at the bottom of the hole. And when I did that, I looked around me and all I saw was the earth, as if I was in a cave. And I looked up at the juniper tree. And as I was coming back down in with my eyesight, looking back at the hole, I entered into the liberated, enlightened state of being. So I experienced the unitive light, unity, the absence of time, the complete absence of time, and the overwhelming happiness and bliss, and the experience of seeing truth. So that was at 4 years old, and I remember that experience vividly in my life. And so that was catching me up from past life's attainments on the spiritual mm-hmm. path.
Now, as a person who teaches parenting, my learning is that the year four of a child's development is the year they develop personal power. Mm. And what an interesting thing for you to experience. Or what a particularly good time.
Right, exactly. I think it was around 3.5. I think I was around 3.5. I think I was around 3.5 to 4 years old. And so, yeah, I agree. A lot of things happen at that time. A lot of prodigies realize their past life gifts at that time.
That's really great. Well, I assume that part of the reason is the door between world, so to speak, is still open at that age.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
I assume it's at least my experience. One of the things I talk with people a lot about is, and I know you're going to agree with it, but I put it in these terms of that we are souls who come to the earth to occupy a body and live a life. And
right.
the connection between soul experience and human experience, the door between that is open for a while in childhood.
Oh, yes,
and
right,
would be
right,
open.
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's not
yeah. Yeah, yeah, hey, you're right. Yeah, it is all open. Go ahead.
Was it difficult for you as a four-year-old?
No, I mean, if this is... this is bringing me back to what I had attained in past lives, then it wasn't difficult for me. In fact, what a good situation. You're taken care of at 4 years old. It's a perfect age to fall into the enlightened experience. So,
was it something you could talk to your parents about?
No, not at 4 years old. I could already...
Really?
And yeah, I don't remember thinking about it too much afterwards, but it definitely shifted me completely. Yeah, because very soon I started, not very soon, but by the time I was 10, I became vegetarian, and I started reading and practicing yoga Buddhism, Hinduism, and the native traditions. And back then there was only a few books out one can get on these different subjects, especially native traditions. And so I dived into those things and became fully active in spiritual life at 10 years old. So that's where that led. Yeah.
That's really, really interesting. In your book, you talk about the worship of the false self. Here we are talking about the real self or the enlightened self. Tell our listeners your take on the false self. What is that about, and how does prayer work with the false self?
Yeah, well, the false self is the soul. That's what I call the soul. It's everything that we've ever experienced and how we responded to those experiences and the memories of those experiences from this life and all past lives. Past lives even before we were ever in a physical body whatsoever. So we're talking about the journey of the soul. And the soul covers the spirit. That's who we are, Atman, or the spirit, the true self. And it's the soul that we identify with because we need to survive in whatever planet we're born on, et cetera, in whatever body that we're inhabiting for that lifetime. So we get mixed up. But in the beginning, in the first few years, our mind is wiped clean. And so we start life afresh in a certain way until our karmas start becoming activated and then dictate a little bit or tinge how we respond to things and how our personality develops from there on. And so by cleansing and purifying the soul through prayer, meditation, good deeds, all of that, we can purify the soul so much that the light of the spirit shines through the soul, and then our conscious awareness can be aware of some part of ourselves that's completely pure and untainted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now,
then
you
the
just
next
mentioned...
step.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, the next step would be to realize that that light that's shining through is actually who we are. And so that takes more purification and experience and until at some point it all comes together and we become liberated in the wisdom and knowledge and identity of our sacred reality, our spirit.
Wow. I like that explanation. Thank you. This takes me 15 different directions at one time. So.
Yes, I understand.
In your book, you also, so like you're inviting people to pray three times a day for 3 minutes, which is 9 minutes of our day, but you say that your hope is that we will go further. And one of the ways in which you hope we will go further is by doing what you call praying with our feet. And I like that term. Will you tell us what that's about?
Well, that means not only getting involved with communion with God internally and with the divine internally, but to remember that we live in a relative world existence, and it's not just by good intentions that we shift the world. It's by following through with actions. So you can, like, I can see an elderly person trying to cross the street and having great difficulty carrying bags or whatever, or any person, doesn't matter. And I could look at that and imagine them finding their way easily and effortlessly. Or I can also add to that walking over and asking them, can you use a little bit of help today? And if they say yes, then I can carry one of their bags as they carry the other one, or whatever it is, whatever the circumstances call for.
Remind me, this week there was a lady walking on some crutches who was planning to go out the door of a restaurant, and it would have been very awkward for her. And I, in being able to step over and open the door for her, and she just wasn't expecting it. And it was a wonderful moment for both of us, you know?
Exactly, yeah. And think if everyone did that all the time, then it wouldn't be special anymore, and that's really good, too.
Okay.
It's all good.
Right, of course.
As long as you do it. It's like you can have horrible motivations, even. You can be a bad person. Like, I think I miswrote one thing that you said is I'm looking for good people with good intentions. Actually, I'm looking for all kinds of people, good, bad, and indifferent, with good intentions. You know what I mean? Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm looking for everyone. And even if you don't have good intentions, at least pray for the welfare and benefit of yourself and others.
Okay. So now, in your book, you have... you've done a wonderful thing. I actually was sharing your book briefly with my teenage granddaughter this morning, and I told her, look, there's stuff from Hinduism and Buddhism and Jainism and Christianity and Islam. And she said, even if I'm not interested in joining the project, I'd love to look at that book because it's very difficult to find all of that information in one place about the different religions, which I have not thought of.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Are you hearing that sound? I'm getting an unwelcome sound.
I hear you. Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, great.
So, we're getting some interference. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, producer Paul is here. I think we're getting interference.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah. Yeah, you're coming in and out.
So, you offer all of these traditions, and you give us their basic philosophy or approach, and also prayers from these different things, but it leaves me with the question, what is the essence of prayer? If we can meditate or our bodies or pray in one way or another, what's the essence of it?
The essence of prayer is reaching out to the divine and communing with the divine and doing something that pleases the divine, even though the divine needs nothing to be pleased by. Because that makes the world go round. It's like smiling to someone in a genuine way or opening the door for the lady with the crutches. Because after that experience, she's going to walk away and you, the person doing, helping a little bit as well, both of you will walk away feeling good and extending that goodness to the next person that you meet. And so when you please the source of all things, then that shudders through all of creation with another vibration.
So then anyone and everyone can pray.
Oh, yes. Yes, because it can be with words or without words.
Yes. And do we have to find peace in our own selves first in order
to...
No.
If we wait for that, we may never pray.
Yes. Oh, I see. None of us may ever pray, huh? We have to.
Yeah, we have to put aside our feelings, meaning we acknowledge our feelings, and especially our resistances. Praying three times a day, even if it's just for a few minutes each time, we will encounter a lot of resistance that comes up. Like, let me skip it this time. But you put those resistances away, and you still do your prayers, even if you don't feel good or want to. And that's what spiritual practice is. That's what spiritual discipline is. Like, if you're studying to be a medical doctor, you don't, if your resistances come up and say, no, I want to skip classes for a few days, you don't do that. You know, if you want to be good, if you want to be a virtuoso in music, you don't skip too many days practicing your chord progressions and your scales and all of those different things. So likewise in the spiritual life, we meet with our resistances and we put them aside and continue to do our good things in life, including prayer.
Well, we're up to our second break. Paramahansa Jagadish is my guest. He offers this quote in his book, The Prayer Project, from the Beatles' George Harrison. All religions are branches of one big tree. It doesn't matter what you call him, that's meaning God, it doesn't matter what you call him, just as long as you call. We are learning more ways to call home when we return here on Full Power Living. Stay with us.
Eileen Dillon is a certified senior life mentor with Accessing Universal Intelligence. She's available to conduct mentoring sessions with you to help you understand, change, and evolve using the advice of your own higher self. You can be anywhere in the world. Sessions are conducted through Skype. For more information about these life mentoring sessions, fees, and how to register, go to www.emotionalpro.com and click on the mentoring link at the top. Get personally tailored assistance with your toughest life questions. Visit mentoring@emotionalpro.com today.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. My guest today, Paramahansa Jagadish, spent 12 years doing extensive retreat work in the remote areas of India and Nepal, and he was able to reach a high level of mastery that has brought him the title of lineage holder, which allows him to initiate others into this deep and holy tradition. And for your interest, the honorific title Paramahansa is given to those who have reached the highest level of spiritual development and achieved self and God realization, which is a true union between spirit and divinity. He's with us today, inviting us all to participate in the prayer project, and you can get more information at stewardshipofthesoul.com or theprayerproject.com. So that we don't lose this, Paramahansa Jagadish, how do people sign up? There's a pledge you have. How do people get themselves involved in your prayer project?
You can go to the website prayer-project.com. So it's prayer-project.com or stewardshipofthesoul.com. And there you'll be led, I don't know exactly how it works, I have a person who's doing all that, and so you go there and you sign up somehow or another, you sign up for the newsletter, but also you can get the book for free there in a digital form for free by going to that website as well. So some people who like the physical book, you can purchase that online, Barnes & Noble and the other place, or you can get the free PDF download at the website prayer-project.com.
Great.
Yeah. Oh,
and so
I want to clarify something. The title of Paramahansa in my tradition isn't a title of the highest realization or the highest accomplishment. In my traditions, there's still a lot more accomplishment that we can that we attain still within the human body, and so actually I'm still working on higher attainments. Just to clarify that, I'll have to fix wherever that was written. I have to go back and change that wording a little bit.
This work we're doing never stops, does it?
It depends. On one level, it stops. And with what we call self-realization or the God realization in the non-dual aspect. But if we want further realizations, then we can get them by furthering, by continuing to work on the path. And so there is an end when we become liberated. We don't need to do any more work. We're in the divine realization or in the divine realm, existing truly as we are, and that's enough. But for some traditions like mine and other traditions, we know that there are further realizations regarding intimacy with God and interacting with God directly in person as much more intensified levels of realization that we can attain.
I don't know if you're familiar with Michael Brown, who wrote a book called The Presence Process. He's been on this show, and I always like, he did a audio program on intimacy, and he loves wordplay, and he calls intimacy into me and see, and claims that all intimacy is us preparing for intimacy with God. I like.
Yeah, that is a nice way to say it, and when we look at it that way, then we can understand how to be present enough to make that transition to being with God, rather than hung up on the human form. Yeah.
So you do amazing healing work also. So I wanted to make sure to have our listeners hear about your karma cleansing, your ancestral healing, and the stewardship of the soul mentoring programs. Tell us what you do when you're not on the radio.
I meet with groups. I go to different places in North America. I go to places in Europe. And, of course, I've done a lot of work in some of the other continents, but mostly sometimes in person and otherwise through the phone and Skype. For some continents that I get clients that I can't go to directly, then I work with them through Skype. But basically, I have the ability to take on someone's negative karma and burn it up for them and reveal to them whatever the karma is about so that they can understand some of the lessons involved with the karma that's burning up. And this is a time-honored, ancient ability that people in the East know about very, very well because they grew up with these understandings. In the West, we have confusion about all those things because we think we have to work through every single part of our own karma. And you can if you want to, but sometimes you can get the blessings or the therapeutic work done of someone who's able to actually take on that karma. Since karma is the causal level, then one is going to get amazing results of purification, of maturity as a human being, and leading to the realization of your own true nature and becoming liberated. So,
I was once told in a past life thing that as a Inca priest, I think, that I used to stand at the temple in another lifetime, at the temple in the full moon and have people who were ill and in difficulty pass by me. I would stand in a basin of water and take their illness and their karma away from them.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's one way. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
So I really related to that when I read that about you doing that because that. It's not necessarily easy to take on other people's karma without having it damage yourself. You have to be in such a state, I imagine, of captivity with spirit that damage you. Is that so?
Well, yeah. First of all, I think there's a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about this as well. It's very rare to have the ability to take on someone else's karma. It's very, very rare. So some people who think they might be taking on someone else's karma and then feeling the negative effects of that is they don't understand that there's a very deep system involved in our lives where we have the unconscious, and you know how large the unconscious is. The unconscious is what I call the soul. The soul is everything, the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious. But the unconscious is the soul part from all of our thousands and thousands of past lives, all the content from that.
Oh.
And so sometimes we feel like we're taking on someone's negative karma when what's going on is they're just triggering our own negative karma, and we're not taking on their karma whatsoever. And,
uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's fine, but that's where I talk about responsibility, is through awareness, we have to learn how to be more and more responsible and to do whatever processes and trainings and teachings and meditative work and all of that to realize, be able to have the subtle awareness of when people are triggering our own negative karma and not assigning it that we're taking on your negative karma, because that's a falsehood in those cases where it is a falsehood. So there's a lot of layers of ignorance that we need to go through and to cleanse out of ourselves to realize more and more of truth, whether it's relative truth and or divine truth. So,
I don't really even have words, but I really appreciate in that statement the work that you've done in your life, and I can feel, we were talking about following different things off different places. There's just an enormous amount of work, release, cleansing for us to
and,
do.
Yeah, shattering the layers of ignorance that we have. And so that's why I offer the Bodhisattva Mastery Training is just for that, is going through very deep teachings in a very loving and warm way. I actually joke a lot. During the trainings, during the work I do, I go from joking and, you know, there's a lot of light and love and joy in the world, so we may as well be experiencing that. And then I go back and forth going very deeply sincere with what we're doing and going very deep in the healing and the absorption into the divine energy, levels of meditation and all of that. So that's where people can come and work with me if they want. And just go very, very deep.
Where do they go to connect with you if they want to take your course or
yeah, it's the same website. The same website. It the prayer-project.com, where you can get the free download of the book, leads you directly to the stewardshipofthesoul.com website. It taps right into that. And so you can explore the whole website. And if you're interested,
great.
Email or call or whatever, yeah.
Do you have a personal, I know you've written a number of these prayers, but I was so touched. I mean, you've got things that have been written by Michael Jackson. You've got Buddhist prayers. You've got Muslim prayers. Do you have a personal favorite?
My personal favorite is the Holy Names of God. Anything that contains the Holy Names of God is one of the most wonderful prayers one can be doing.
So the Holy Name of God, I'm not sure I follow what that is.
Well,
what you mean.
Traditions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Sufi traditions, and Sikh tradition, especially the Sikh tradition as well, we have a tradition that comes down of the holy, what sometimes people call mantras. The holy
uh-huh.
names of God have all the power of God within them and all the divine love within them. And so by doing holy names practices, whether it's different holy names from whatever spiritual traditions or religious traditions that you get them from, like Om Mani Padme Hum.
Uh-huh.
That's not a holy names of God, but it's a mantra of the divine. And then you have some of the personal names of God. So those could be Amitabha Buddha or the different Buddhas. Hinduism, you might have Om Namah Shivaya. That's a holy name of God, is Shiva. Or Sri Ram, J. Ram, J. J. Ram. Ram is a holy name of God. And if you have the Sikh tradition, Sat Nam means the true name. But they also have different holy names that they use, and I'm not as familiar with that tradition, although I've studied it a little bit, with their what they might have more secret holy names that they use and things like that. But and then there's like Jesus prayer. There's different things for many of the traditions. I know that Islam, the Sufi tradition of Islam, the mystical tradition, which is what I studied, is the mystical traditions of all these religious traditions, because those are the experiential sides of any religious tradition, and that's the one we want. We want to experience God directly and our own true nature. So there's many holy names of God that can be used.
Thank you for, I appreciate that you explained that so it's clearer. We have a comment on the chat. I so appreciate Paramahansa's naming of ignorance. This is how I see it too, rather than to see ourselves and others as wrong. This is so loving.
Yes, that's true. Very true. And that's what it is. That's why we can have loving kindness and compassion to everyone, including our own selves, because we act only out of ignorance. We only cause suffering for self and others out of our own ignorance. So...
So maybe we can end here. These are really amazing and challenging times. I don't think we have to. We do keep saying this, but I don't think we have to. It's abundantly evident that there's a lot of transformation going on. And so I want to thank you for helping us to see that we can be a powerful part of setting us all on a new path, and for giving us such a simple way of doing it. And I certainly encourage everyone to go to your website, theprayer-project.com or stewardshipofthesoul.com, to take the challenge, if you will, to take the pledge of helping to transform our world using just 9 minutes of your day, 3 minutes three times a day. So I want to thank you for offering it, for thinking it up, for offering it, for sharing it through your book, and for taking your time to be here with us today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, end with your, well, you know this prayer. It says Paramahansa Jagadish's personal prayer for peace. Will you end by telling us what that is?
Well, it's the ones that we went through. Do we have 2 minutes left or no?
Well, we can take it. What I have written down that I received was, God, I humbly ask for your blessings to purify my psychosocial field and restore me to my natural condition of love, peace, joy, and wisdom, which I thought was wonderful.
If you're into it, what I'd like to do at this very end is go through the three prayers we just did and
also
do a sacred energy transmission for all those who want it.
Yes, let's take the time to do that.
Okay, great. So feeling yourself centered, everyone, in the Sacred Heart Center and grounded to the divine energy of the nurturing Mother Earth, we will do the prayer. God, I humbly ask for your blessings to purify my body, mind, and soul, and restore me to my natural condition of love, peace, joy, and wisdom. Amen. And now the second part. Most loving and compassionate God, the divine power and energy of the universe and beyond, I humbly ask for your blessings to purify and illuminate with your light, love, peace, and wisdom all beings of the universe, all beings of the earth, all beings who are in power and affect the lives of others, especially our government leaders, business and financial leaders, and our spiritual leaders from the entire globe, that they may all be cleansed and purified of negative motivations and actions and filled with your light, love, peace, joy, and wisdom. Amen. And now the last part. Let this happen now within me and spread around the world transforming and bequeathing all noble qualities and actions expressed and enacted everywhere upon everyone and everything. Amen.
So be it.
Very nice.
Yes, thank you for that. That's a lovely way. That's a really lovely way to end the show.
Very good. Thank you
so much for being with us. And I, of course, wish you all success with the prayer project. And I appreciate the opportunity to be part of letting people know of its availability.
Oh, thank you. And you're doing such good work for everyone. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Next week, join me for my conversation with Anat Baniel, including her intriguing ideas about enticing our brains to ease pain and help us move and avoid developing problems in how we move, and also in developing our personal energy and resiliency. This is another very special show, so be sure to listen next Thursday, August 7th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer. Thank you, Paul. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.